Welcome back to the Purim Drashas of the Amoraim. Today we'll be starting with the seventh drasha, that of Rav Chanina Bar Papa. Rav Chanina Bar Papa, Pasach HaPisach L'ha Parashas HaMeihacha. Rav Chanina Bar Papa would open up his Purim drasha with the following pasuk, a pasuk from Tehillim Samach Vav. The pasuk says, Hirkavta Enash L'Roshenu Banu Va'ish V'mayim, that you, Hashem, have caused a human being to ride over our heads, and Banu Va'ish V'mayim, you have brought us through fire and water. But then the pasuk continues, "Vatsienu l'ravaya," and you have brought us out to satiety. And then Rav Chanina Bar Papa darshens these three phrases, right? The being brought through fire, through water, and then being brought out to satiety, to abundance. Says, "Ba'esh b'yemei Nebuchadnezzar Rasha," you have brought us through fire. That's in the days of Nebuchadnezzar Harasha. "Uvamayim b'yemei Paro," through the water, that was the days of Paro. And Vatotzina Larvaya Bime Haman, you've brought us out into abundance, into satiety. That took place in the days of Haman. That's all the drasha is. It's these three points. That you have brought us out through fire and water in the days of Nebuchadnezzar and Paro respectively, and you have brought us out to abundance in the days of Haman. So what is this talking about? So let's just take a look at what it means that fire and water is Nebuchadnezzar and Paro. So being brought through water, that's pretty clear. Paro put us through water. He tried to drown the babies. Remember, he did drown babies, right? With the infanticide that took place in the beginning of Parsha Shemos, he actually took Jewish children and commanded all Jewish children be thrown into the Nile and drowned. And additionally, we know that as the story continues, we almost had our lives on the line in water when the Egyptians chased us out up into the Yam Suf, and we thought that we might drown there as well. So we were brought through water in that regard, and then literally, actually, part of the salvation, interestingly, was that we were brought through water, but not through the water itself, through dry land in the water. Now, what about the fire? The fire versus the days of Nebuchadnezzar. So I had an initial thought. Rashi says over here, "Hetilu l'socha kivshan." He threw us into the kivshan, right? So that seems to refer to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in Sefer Daniel. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, what I would have said, and which the Maharsha actually says, is that, what about the fire of the Beis HaMikdash? It could be that the Beis HaMikdash was set on fire by Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, it was, and it could be that's what this is referring to. And the Maharsha quotes Rashi, and he says, and it's also possible to suggest this, that's the fire of the Beis HaMikdash that was burned by Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so that's how the water and fire refer to Paro and Nebuchadnezzar, respectively. And then we were brought out in the days of Haman. There was a salvation. So it's just a little strange that we're referencing just these three points in history. You could say a little bit what we were saying earlier, some of the earlier drashos, that it's looking at Purim in a greater historical context, right? And if you think about, Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was like the prototype of Gullus before the four Galuyos, and that was the days of Paro. And then so far, up until the point of Purim, so there was a Gullus of Bavel. In particular, especially if you take the Maharsha, the days of Nebuchadnezzar of burning the Beis HaMikdash in particular. That's the fire of the Beis HaMikdash. And then after that, we were brought out into abundance through the days of Haman in Gullus Paros Madai, where we were actually able to break free in a sense and be able to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash that Nebuchadnezzar destroyed a couple of years after of the Purim story and the death of Haman. So it could be that's what it's saying. It's a little strange that Nebuchadnezzar would be placed before Paro, that the fire is mentioned before the water, because chronologically that's not true. Okay, you could suggest such a thing, but perhaps there's something deeper here as well. And by that I mean there's certainly something deeper here as well, but perhaps we'll be able to suggest part of that depth now. Certainly to get a deeper understanding, we need to know the sources that this drasha is referring to. So, right away, this Perek in Tehillim, so Samach Vav, this Pasuk Yud Beis, the whole Perek is talking about different challenges we've had, but we're praising Hashem and thanking Hashem and promising to to thank him properly in the Beis HaMikdash, and we're able to, for the tremendous salvations he's given us, despite, you know, having had people leading over us, and we've been brought through fire and through water, but he took us out, and we're thanking him for that. So that's what it's talking about in Tehillim. But through understanding the stories of the fire and water in the proper context, learning Shemos and Sefer Daniel, we can really maybe understand a little bit better. And it could be that there's actually a very big contrast. In general, fire and water demonstrates a contrast, an extreme contrast, two opposites, right? And we know in Barad, Chazal speak about the extreme contrast of fire and water and them being able to come together. So it could be that fire and water demonstrates two different ends of a spectrum of a threat of annihilation that we've experienced. Now, looking at the fire one first, because that's what's mentioned first. So that takes place in Sefer Daniel. Now, if we're not talking about the Chorban HaBayis, if we're actually going to go with what Rashi says, he says the Kivshan, right, being thrown into the fire. So it could be that there are other people that were thrown into the fire. It could be that it was a typical form of punishment at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. But the one that the mention of being thrown in fire that we have in explicitly in the text of Tanakh is in Daniel, Parak Gimel. And that's where he takes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right, these, which are the Babylonian names of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, Daniel's three friends that were taken to Babel. And they are thrown into a fiery furnace and miraculously survive. Very similar to the story that Chazal tells about Avram Avinu. And this story of them being thrown in, so why were they thrown into the fire? The answer is that they didn't bow down to an idol that Nebuchadnezzar commanded everybody to bow down to at a certain time. And they refused to bow down to the idol. He brought them in. They still refused. And they were thrown into the fire alive and miraculously survived. So over here, it was a religious thing. There was, meaning, in general, Nebuchadnezzar accepted, the Jews into his company. It's like he gave these three plus Daniel all special names and special roles, but they refused to violate their religion, and they were thrown into the fire because of it, and they miraculously survived. Now Paro, in contrast, in Sefer Shemos, what that was very different. In fact, Chazal tell us that they were not holding on a high spiritual level at all. They were on the 49th level of Tumah. Chazal tell us that they, you know, stopped getting Bris Milah. They didn't have so many mitzvahs to begin with. They had a cultural identity, but that's really all they had. They were on a very spiritually low level. Yet they were oppressed and despised on a national level, really completely separate from religion. So this contrast of Eish and Mayim could be the anti-Semitism coming from you can even call it an Eish, like a fiery passion, a Avodas Hashem, an Eish Das Lemo, or it could be from water, the opposite, meaning the times of Paro, where they were being persecuted just because they were part of this distinct nation. And if you think about it, both of these actually come to play in the Megillah as well, in the days of Haman. The Gemara on Yud Gimel Amud Beis is really astounding, that it quotes a conversation that Chazal tell us about between Ahasuerus and Haman, Haman's attempts to convince Ahasuerus to get rid of the Jewish people. And basically, you can check out the Gemara there, don't want to keep it too long, but the back and forth is Haman giving different reasons that the Jews deserve to be annihilated. And some of them even contradict each other, right? They're, you know, and as we've seen with anti-Semitism throughout the years, that, you know, it's the Jews are lazy, or they're working too hard and getting all the money, they're too separate, or they're trying to be just like us. There's always a contrast to these extremes. And we see also, as that's the Gemara, but explicitly in the Megillah, it says that, you know, why did Haman try to kill the Jewish people? So first it says because Mordechai didn't bow, which sounds very similar to the actions of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah in Sefer Daniel. But then it says he wants to kill Mordechai and all of the Am Mordechai, or the whole entire nation of the Jewish people. When did that happen? But the answer is that there's religious motivation and national motivation for anti-Semitism and for the hatred of the Jewish people. And in the times of Haman, there was that, you know, I guess, dual attack, whether for religious reasons against people like Mordechai, or for national reasons against most of the nation who probably wasn't too religious at this point, Yet Haman tried to kill all of them, and Baruch Hashem, Vatotzeinu L'Ravayah, Hashem brought us out to satiety, and we actually had a resurgence of both Jewish identity and Jewish nationalism and Jews working together. And Shalach Malas Yisrael Rehu Matanas Lev Yonim, there was a Jewish identity again. Like Yehudim Haisa'ora, there was a national title. Yehudim Haisa'ora B'Simcha V'Sasim V'Yikar. Yeah, of course we know Kibulu V'Kibulu. And Chazal tell us that's referring to the Torah, that they re-accepted upon themselves the Torah, and whether the Torah Shevaksav or Torah Shevalpeh, but there was a resurgence in Avodas Hashem, in Yiddishkeit. So this combination of Eish and Mayim that we've been through, that were, you know, trying to hold us down in the times of Nebuchadnezzar, in the times of Paro, and now it doesn't really necessarily matter what the order is. I mean, it happens to be in the Eish and Mayim. So in the Purim story, the Eish was first, because it was first an attack against Mordechai, and then attack to the entire nation, no matter what their religious, observance was. So they were brought into the times of a salvation, the Revaya, to satiety in Avodas Hashem and in the Jewish identity, and that's something definitely to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, and a big critical context to view Purim in.